Are you looking for a good fight? Check out the Fight pay-per-view schedule. Watch on the biggest screen in the house. What's the fight tonight? MMA, boxing, pro wrestling, live on pay-per-view. Just tap play and pick a screen to watch on. Playback shifts instantly to the screen of your choice. No hardware, no hassle. Download the Fight app and start watching today.
Hey, first of all, I want to say Alhamdulillah, God give me everything. Alhamdulillah, I know you got this, you don't like this. Alhamdulillah.
Gotta thank God for my team. Hop in the mail like Alhamdulillah. Counters the nail like Alhamdulillah. Check my apparel like Alhamdulillah. Fly the spell like Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Like Alhamdulillah, sharp as an arrow. Like Alhamdulillah,
took me to a star, got me a new car. He got me this fall. Alhamdulillah, he gave me something to rap about. Forget the trap route. Look at the devil, we tapping now. I ain't packing now. Musala's arenas, I'm packing now. Like Pacquiao, but I ain't going down. Muslims, I'm holding down. Alhamdulillah, cause he hold a crown.
Back on your Wednesday, December the 5th. This is the MMA Scene Podcast, and I am your host, Idris Crawley, writer for many different outlets, including the WMMARankings.com, MMA Sucka, the Combat Docket, and as always, the MMA Scene blog on Facebook, which is really a consolidation of all of my content from around our web with additional pieces, including the rankings that I do for the industry, which includes the men's strawweight division to heavyweight and women's atomweight to featherweight. And if you follow my content for a while now, you notice that my focus is more geared towards African MMA, Middle Eastern MMA, and Asian MMA, in addition to the WMMA scene, which I've followed and covered for about the better part of 16 years now. And I don't really talk a lot about the UFC and Bellator much on this show anymore, because everyone's doing it. You know, all these websites out there, MMA Fighting, MMA Junkie, all these other mainstream websites, mainstream in the sense that they're the most well-known in the mixed martial arts industry. It's just, it's, the content is so regurgitated, it's repeated so much that I don't really think it benefits my viewers or my listeners. Now, if you would like me to cover more of that content on a show in the future, I will. I mean, that's how I got my start, by interviewing Rousey and Tate and Mighty Mouse, Woodley, so on. I don't have a problem with that. I just think my calling is more to educate the fans on the sport of mixed martial arts and not focus on a couple of different organizations. And that's the reason why you don't hear me break down many cards on the show anymore. I might talk about some hot topics here and there, but you won't hear me, like, for example, breaking down this past weekend's events, which was stacked with Bellator 210, Bellator 211, KSW 46, which is more in my arena, UFC Fight Night 142, I believe it was, the Tough 28 finale and things like that. Speaking about the Tough 28 finale with Macy Chelsea winning the women's featherweight portion of the Ultimate Fighter series. People are already asking, and what a great performance by her, if you follow Frank Paulsen on Twitter or on his blog at frankp316.blogspot.com. You know, he's been high on her ever since her appearance under the Invicta FC banner. I can't remember if he picked her to win or not. I don't know. But some people did expect her. Some experts did expect her to take the show. And by experts, I don't mean the pseudo-experts who happened to pop up overnight when the UFC started installing the women's weight classes. I'm talking about the people who have been around for years, who know the Japanese scene and the WMMA scene as a whole. So it wasn't like a real surprise to many people. But the problem now is that, you know, I saw some stuff come out yesterday that I don't know if it's changed today or not, but even after the show, the UFC hasn't released women's featherweight rankings. Now, the reason for that is most of the competitors on the show were bantamweights or small featherweights, and many did announce that they would be returning to 135 after the show. The problem with featherweight is that it's not that deep. And it not being that deep, and the fact that the UFC doesn't seem to be interested in developing, promoting, and signing the best talent available, you know, you're not going to be able to create legitimate rankings for women's 145. Of course, Bellator has their division over there with some solid fighters. Invicta FC has Felicia Spencer and a couple other fighters. You put them all together, it's still not a legitimate weight class. And this is even more mind-boggling, a more mind-boggling aspect of the women's scene is the fact that the PFL is holding a lightweight tournament. Knowing how thin featherweight is, they're going to award $1 million to the winner of their women's lightweight tournament next year, which is really a way to promote Kayla Harrison. But we've seen in the past when promotions really forcing a fighter, you know, a fighter they clearly want to be the face of their promotion, that they see a lot of potential. And a lot of times when they force it, it doesn't really work. We've seen it with Holly Holm. We've seen it with, what's homeboy's name at bantamweight who fought TJ Dillashaw? Cody Garbrandt. We've seen it with Cody Garbrandt. Seen it with a lot of people, man. And, you know, you can't really force it. But going a little off topic here, but good win for Macy, and she's yet another fighter coming out of the Fortis MMA camp in Dallas, Texas, under the tutelage of Self Saud. And, you know, not enough people are talking about it. People are starting to get on board with Fortis MMA, but not a lot of people are talking about what Saud has been doing with that team. And of course, I had Abdul Karim Al-Salawati from Brave on the show a couple weeks back. He won his title, title fight against Lucas Martinez at Brave CF 18, and what a performance by him. But they have multiple champions, multiple different organizations, people getting signed left and right, and they're really becoming a super camp. And almost overnight, they've only been open for about 2 years or so. So, very promising things all around with them. And another quick note, still not sold on Antonina Shevchenko. Not nearly as talented as her sister, but that was a really good win for her. Now I'm interested to see who they're going to match her up with next. And to finish off the UFC talk, I got Joanna Jędrzejczyk winning against Valentina Shevchenko. I think people are putting too much into their Muay Thai fights that happened, like, how many years ago now? Like, so many years ago. I think not having to cut down to 115 pounds is going to do wonders for Jędrzejczyk. And she was a top five flyweight before coming to the UFC and dropping to strawweight. Quality fighter, more seasoned MMA fighter. In a sense that she's faced better competition consistently. She's shown a very well-rounded game. I think this is going to be a war. It's going to be a great fight. Valentina Shevchenko is definitely a quality flyweight. Quality. I'm not hating on her at all. I just think people are overlooking Jędrzejczyk just because of the losses to Rose. And the second one could have went either way, you know. So it's definitely going to be a size difference there, but I just think Jędrzejczyk's output is going to be hard for Shevchenko to keep up with. Oh, sorry about that. I don't think Valentina is going to be able to, that was my phone messing up the recording of this. I don't think Valentino's going to be able to keep up the pace over 5 year rounds with Yan Trzejczyk. I think you're going to see a different animal with JJ up at flyweight. And I'm trying to think on the top of my head what other fights. I've never been impressed with Nina Ansaroff. I think Claudia Gadelha is going to have her way with her, whether it be striking, grappling, scrambles, cage control, what have you. I just think that Gadelha is a superior athlete. And I'm also picking Trukajian over Ai. I think Trukajian is one of the best flyweights out there, although I think she's overachieved in her professional MMA career thus far. She should definitely take this one. Now, and I'm talking a little bit about an article I wrote last week for MMA Sucker, which really like laid out the landscape of mixed martial arts and the importance of free agency with the flyweight division, you know, supposedly being removed from the UFC. The UFC keeps booking fights, but there are a lot of different promotions that stand to really benefit from the flyweight division if the UFC does eventually do away with it completely. And at the end of the article, and you can check out the article, it's pinned to my Twitter profile at Idrees Crawley, IDREESCRAWLEY. And, you know, I spoke at the end of the article about a merger that was taking place between ACB, Absolute Championship Burkert, and WFCA. And the merger will... It's such an important merger for the industry of mixed martial arts. And that is because they instantly become the largest organization in Russia. They instantly have the three best flyweights coming out of Russia in Aslam Gafarov, Askarov, of course, 10-0 ACB champion. And, you know, they have money to spend, obviously, but they've always been able to attract international talent to showcase their champions and the guys they feel had the most potential. They weren't like a lot of these organizations like UFC Africa, for the most part, for most of their history, where they would just draw on local talent. These guys brought in international talent because they felt like they had the best fighters in the world. And in many cases, their fighters came out on top. So I think they're going to be a big player in flyweight free agency. And also, I'm hearing now that after the merger, they will hold the second largest roster in the whole of MMA, second only to the industry leading UFC, of course. And on top of that, they're going to be adding performance bonuses up to $10,000 and also rewarding $5,000 to fighters who are able to perform well enough to get quick finishes. Now, all this is good for the fighters and, you know, for MMA and free agency and things like that. But what I'm hearing a lot of now is people not being on board with it, not wanting to watch it because of the idea that Chechenian dictator Ramzan Kadyrov is behind it all. Then they're trying to hide his participation or his role within the merger and the company. Now, if you follow me for a while, if you follow my content for a while, you know that I'm not the one to always go along with the crowd. And this is one of those situations, you know. If you want to talk politics, we can talk politics. You might not agree with a lot of my stances, but that's because they're educated stances. A lot of people that are commenting on this and spouting their ideas are going based on people presenting themselves as experts in specific fields. But I'm not here to talk about politics with you. Again, if you want to talk politics, we can do that in private or on Facebook or in DMs on Twitter, so on. But I'm talking specifically about the industry of mixed martial arts. And this merger could put a Russian promotion in the position of the second largest, second most important organization in the world, moving Bellator down to number three barely because 1FC is coming up and, you know, with all the stuff coming out with Chatri, Sityotong or whatever, you know, you can't really believe a lot what's going on with them. And there's been an article written on their financial situation and things like that, but they're spending money left and right. That's another story. But again, with, like, you just look at these three fighters, Askar Askarov, 10-0 unbeaten, ranked flyweight, Azam Gafarov, 11-0 unbeaten, ranked flyweight. Imran Bikoev, 8-1, once beaten, only lost coming to Gafarov. That's three top flyweights right there. Now, if they were to sign some of the flyweight talent coming out of the UFC, they could do wonders for the flyweight division. You know, there are going to be a lot of organizations out there trying to, you know, make their case for some of this talent. But, you know, the landscape of mixed martial arts has changed, and we're seeing it left and right. The emergence of Brave Combat Federation, of course. Filimarad Alkasov won his fight. It was supposed to be a title fight against Marcelo Dur, but he missed the weight and he won the fight, just not the title. The organization's trying to get Jose Shorty Torres, former two division LFA title holder, to sign on with the organization. They definitely have money behind them. They definitely have backing. They're growing at an insane rate right now. They're going to be in the market for a lot of fighters. People say that flyweight's not marketable. Well, not necessarily. ACB has held more than one flyweight main event. EFC with Zulu Boy, EFC 75, I believe it was, had a flyweight main event. Flyweight is attractive to many different organizations now. Japan over in Risen, 1FC, of course, with the signing of Mighty Mouse Johnson and announcing their flyweight Grand Prix. Wouldn't be surprised to see PFL jump on board with their own version of a flyweight tournament. If this much interest and this much opportunity is there for flyweight, what do you think about the rest of the weight classes, bantamweight, featherweight, on up? You know, I'm not a big fan of middleweight, like heavyweight and heavyweight, because I feel like there's a massive drop in talent from, let's say, middleweight to welterweight to middleweight. I think the middleweight is when the talent starts to drop off, although there's really, you know, quality fighters out there. But, you know, it once upon a time, the UFC was the only place, was the only attractive option for fighters. Now you have the UFC, Bellator, EFC, KSW, Brave CF, ACA, you know, Fight Nights Global still around. I wonder if they would get absorbed into the ACB or the ACA merger. That would have been awesome. You know, M1 is still around. So much opportunities out there. And if you're a mixed martial arts fan and all, you know, all you focus on is the UFC, you're really missing out on some great fights. So I'm going to try to get some of these personalities onto one of the future episodes and talk a little more about the free agency and things like that. But let me go ahead and take this commercial break. And when we get back, I want to talk about my girl, Willie Zhang, man. I've been telling y'all about her for the better part of 2.5 years now. Now you're finally seeing her in the UFC, and I see a lot of you jumping on the bandwagon. We got to talk about my girl, man. We'll be right back.
December, EFC's biggest stars return to close out the biggest year. Potts versus Vandera for the interim heavyweight title. Penko versus Velizmus for the women's strawweight title. EFC 76, Times Square, Pretoria. Tickets and broadcast information at EFCWorldwide.com.
Holloway versus Brian Ortega for the UFC Featherweight Championship of the World is one of the highest level matchups in the history of the featherweight division.
Brian T. City Ortega is still undefeated.
I'm going to keep the finishing streak going. I'm coming for Max Holloway, and we're going to get that belt.
I'm going to keep doing what I do best, win fights.
The winning streak is a dozen.
And on to the next.
Him and I are so good that we went through the division. And there's nowhere to go no more. Now it's my time.
Oh, and there's the tap!
My destiny. Oh! The belt's next.
It's time to just prove to the world why I'm the best to ever do it. Welcome to the blessed era, baby.
Oh! Max Holloway!
I'm not leaving without that belt.
Come get it. I dare you.
When I hit the streets, inshallah, all my brothers eat alhamdulillah. Praise be to God, I was eating crumbs, now I'm living large. Bought a good stacks, racking up the funds, make my mama proud, look who I become. Only 23 and I'm getting paid like I'm Kevin Gates. For everyone's game, alhamdulillah. When I get the keys to the biggest house, and the day they bring my Akhiralo out, on the day Khabib, not McGregor out, only selling in, never selling out. Shady
ass. Now before I get to my girl Willie Jang, I wanna make a quick comment on this whole talk. I think it started with Luke Thomas, who has a lot of interesting opinions. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of his, but I definitely respect the man, his hustle, what he does. But he's trying to sell this idea of Brian Ortega and Khabib Nurmagomedov somewhere down the road. And a lot of people are getting on board with this, and a lot of fans I hear are insinuating that Brian Ortega would beat Khabib Nurmagomedov, would just, you know, outclass him on the ground and blah, blah, blah. Now, you know I'm the biggest Khabib Nurmagomedov fan. One of the biggest fans. There are a lot of fans out here now that weren't out here a few months ago, a couple years back, whatever. But that's another story. Now, I'm a huge Khabib Nurmagomedov fan. I feel it's a very interesting matchup on the ground, but I think we have to have a realistic expectation of the situation. That is, first, there's no guarantee that Max Holloway is going to lose his title this weekend. Max Holloway is one of the best featherweights to ever do it. And, you know, if I were to pick one of those two guys this weekend, it would be Max Holloway, but not by much. Let me tell you, Brian Ortega is a killer. Love that man. But there's nothing wrong with Brian Ortega being the potentially the most dominant featherweight in history, potentially becoming the greatest 145-pound athlete of all time, in mixed martial arts, that is. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know he came out recently and said that he would love that fight. And for good reason for him. He's a guy who likes to fight off of his back. And Khabib is a top game guy. But Brian Ortega is in my opinion, too small for Khabib Nurmagomedov. Khabib is used to manhandling guys much bigger than Brian Ortega. I mean, yeah, they don't have the ground game that Ortega has. But Khabib is not a slouch on the ground either. He's shown, if you watch Khabib Nurmagomedov over the years, seen the clips of him competing, showing very good submission grappling and transitions and everything for someone with his background. You know, he's a judo guy, sambo guy, wrestler, not the best shot in the world, and that's one of the reasons why the Tony Ferguson fight is so intriguing too, because of the way that Khabib shoots in, and you know, many times he leaves his neck exposed, and you know how Tony Ferguson loves necks, and so does Brian Ortega. So I can see the interest in that way of thinking, and definitely on the ground, Brian Ortega's a monster, but he's a smaller monster. Khabib is a big monster. He's a guy who's consistently gets like 10-8 rounds against world-class athletes. I just don't think they should be pushing for this fight. Brian Ortega may want this fight, but I think this is one of those situations where he needs to be protected, groomed, and managed so he reaches his full potential. Not saying he can't beat Khabib Nurmagomedov, but there's nothing wrong with spending your career at featherweight. There's nothing wrong with, you know, adding to your resume at featherweight. You know, it's not the right time right now to seek super fights. And I don't even know after the if he was able to win and capture the featherweight title from Max Holloway that would even be considered a super fight at that point. So. Love Brian Ortega. I think a lot of people need to calm down a little bit. And, you know, Brian Ortega's a beast, but Khabib Nurmagomedov, not right now, man. Now on to my girl, Willie Jane. And I definitely want all of you to check out my rankings at facebook.com/MMAScene blog. That's S-C-E-N-E blog. I updated the Adam Wade and strawweight rankings. I'm trying to decide on whether or not to release the flyweight before or after UFC 131. I don't know. But Willie Jing is a monster. Now, I had her ranked before she was even signed to the UFC in the top 15 in strawweight. And a lot of people were like, who's Willie Jing? She's this Chinese fighter competing for Kung Fu fight, you know, here and there. Not really facing people I'm familiar with. Why is she even ranked? And I'm sitting here like, well, she's a two-division Kung Fu fight champion at flyweight and at strawweight. The first person in 30 fights to stop Emi Fujino, although Viviana Rojo Gomes did it recently too. Wins over Marilia Santos, Simone Duarte. She has some really good quality wins before even coming to the UFC. And then she comes to the UFC, wins her first fight, and then absolutely destroys one of my favorite fighters in Jessica Jack Aguilar. No one in the history of Jack's career has done that to her. And yeah, she's older. She's battled through injuries. Has fought like, what, 3 times in the last 4 years or so, something like that. Not the same fighter she used to be, but she's a seasoned brown belt. She still beats many strawweights in the UFC. Maybe not the top tier, but you know, you just don't do that to Jack. Willie Jane came in there on what's her record now? 18-1 now. So she was on like a 17 fight win streak heading into the bout with 15 stoppages in her second UFC appearance. And she just puts it on Jack. I mean, she put it on her. Hit her with the elbow, slammed her to the canvas, side control, showed great control and side control, kept hitting her with the elbows. Went to mount straight into the triangle, switched to the armbar and just finished her, man. Finished her. And that was her 7th submission. And she also has 9 TKOs. So she's showing a really well-rounded game. So she finished 16 of her 18 fights. She's now in the UFC 2-0 record. And now they booked her against Tisha Torres. And that just kills me. It kills me because, you know, if you were following my old show from a few years ago, Fight Nation Radio, where I hit, you know, most of the biggest stars on there, Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, all those guys I mentioned, Michael Chandler, Daniel Strauss, all those guys. I had Tisha Torres on, and this was soon after she completed her amateur career. I think she went 7-0 with 3 amateur titles, and this was before the International Mixed Martial Arts Federation started becoming the standard for the amateur level of mixed martial arts. And props to, again, His Highness Sheikh Khalid bin Hamad Al Khalifa, which is one of the most awesome names in the sport of mixed martial arts, by the way. But props to him and his organization over there in Bahrain for, you know, really, really dedicating themselves to the mixed martial arts industry, showing dedication to the amateur level as well, by holding the IMMAF World Championships every year in Bahrain. And, you know, Bahrain is actually ranked number 2 in the world on the amateur level. So it was a great event. Their International Fight Week was the same week of Brave 18. And, you know, just a lot of good things. I can't say enough good things about Brave, His Highness Sheikh Khalid, and, you know, Bahrain, and just so much talent over there. But Tisha Torres was highly touted coming off of the amateur scene. And, you know, when we spoke on the show, you know, you could tell that she liked fighting. I never really felt that she loved fighting. I never feel like she was in love with the game. She wasn't like a Donald Cerrone, like where you just know he loves to fight. You know he likes to get punched in the face. You know he likes to punch people in the face. You know he likes to grapple. He just loves the fight game. Some people just love the fight game, and others just do it for money, do it for sport, do it for a little bit of competition, but not really that serious. Tisha Torres struck me as that person. Now, she was, and I know Frank doesn't like Tisha. He thinks that she's overrated, and he has a point. But I think she was overrated for good reason. She had a lot of potential. She was fast, decent striking, decent takedown defense, decent ground game, decent everywhere. And she was developing good under when she was with American Top Team down here, just south of me in Fort Lauderdale. But when she moved to Colorado with Raquel Pennington, her game just fell off greatly. She fell off, man. It's the coaching, it's the mindset, it's the not having that motivation to be the best in the world. She just does it because she likes to do it, and if she happens to be the best in the world in the process, and that's okay with her. Shawn Humes has talked a lot about, he just breaks down a lot, man. The guy's talented, the guy knows his stuff. He's really analytical. And give him a follow on Twitter at Black Jordan Breen. That's without the C. B-L-A-K. Black Jordan Breen. He really has a good eye on things like this. And, you know, to the expert eye, it's really clear that, and he talked a lot about Raquel and Tisha and their new camp having the same game plan for both fighters, even though they have 2 totally different skill sets. I think Raquel Pennington has overachieved. I was never impressed with her. Had her on the show years ago too. I like her, but as a fighter, I just think she's overachieved. She wasn't as talented as Tisha Torres and some of these other fighters. Now, that's not to say that Tisha Torres just completely sucks, just her game has fell off greatly. I don't think she beats the top 5. I'm not sure if she beats the top 10, but I think she beat some in the top 20, top 15. She was to change camps, get her mind straight. I really think she could be one of the best in the world, but I don't think that's on her mind now. And Frank said last week that, you know, she's alluded to just, you know, stepping away from the sport and putting her criminal law degree to good use. And that might be the best for her if she's not willing to do what she needs to become the best or be better or whatever. I don't want to see her take these beatings. But the reason I'm talking about her is because the UFC booked her to face Weili Zhang, I think it's in February. Tisha Torres is coming off of two losses, one to Jessica Andrade and the other to Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Now she's fighting Weili Zhang now. And Weili Zhang is the type of fighter, people haven't seen her in the women's division before. This woman is talented, very good striking, great ground game. She uses elbows like nobody in mixed martial arts, whether it be on the feet of striking range, you know, when she gets in the pocket, whether it be up against the fence, whether it be in a clinch, you saw it on the ground. She just, she's a master at using her elbows. She has sick power that you don't see a lot at strawweight. And I don't see where Tisha Torres wins this fight. This is a fight made to, like as Frank said on his podcast, which is also here on Anchor, by the way, it's made to showcase the skills of Weili Zhang and really promote her on a pay-per-view and get fans really behind it. You know, they're trying to push into the Chinese market, you know, planning to open the Performance Institute over there, huge institute, three times bigger than the one in Vegas, I'm hearing. And one of the ways to do it is to get the Asian fans on board with a fighter like Weili Zhang. And, you know, there's a lot of Chinese fighters coming up right now, and they're really good. I'm talking about on the women's scene specifically. Really, really good. If Weili Zhang was to lose this fight, I would be very shocked. I'd be very shocked. These are two fighters I like, but huge fan of, you know, if you know me, you know, I'm all about like Seo Hee Ham and Weili Zhang. Those are my two favorite fighters on the women's scene. But I think Weili Zhang is better in every area of mixed martial arts. And if there was one area that I say Tisha Torres had an advantage in, is there a takedown of defense? I don't think so. I think it's more like speed. She has some speed to her, but the power, the well-roundedness, the pace, the aggressiveness, the clinch work, the cage control, I think it all goes to Zhang. The finishing ability, it all goes to Zhang. And this would be Tisha Torres's third loss in a row, and I don't really think she comes back to the sport after that. Even if it's a close fight, three losses in a row is hard to come back from, although Jędrzejczyk could move up to flyweight permanently, I don't know. And, you know, she may need to stick around to see how the division plays out. But gone are the days of Torres's obvious potential. Now it's looking more and more like wasted potential. And it's a shame. But I'm a big fan of Weili Zhang. I'm probably one of the first people you've heard Zhang's name from. I've had her ranked for about a year and a half, no, about 2 years now. Had her ranked soon after the Emi Fujino fight. I had her ranked in the top 30. But happy to see her finally in the UFC and doing her thing, man. Yeah, so that's it on Weili Zhang. I'm about to wrap this thing up. I want to, you know, kind of disappointed that I didn't get the, I couldn't find the commercial with, talking about the UFC 231 event. I couldn't find the commercial with the Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Valentina Shevchenko, flyweight title fight mentioned, in the promo. I think Richard Cajun wins this fight, she should get the next title shot. UFC should run back the Sidra Eubanks and Nico Montano fight, run back in the sense that it was booked, just never happened. I want them to rebook that fight and the winner gets closer to a title shot. But some great fights coming up this weekend. I wrote a preview for the EFC 76 event, which features a women's strawweight title fight between Kara Pinko and Carolina, how do you pronounce her name? Watsik? Yeah, Carolina Watsik. And Pinko actually competed at Atomweight before too. I wouldn't mind them opening an Atomweight division and trying to get some talent in there, see if she could become a double champion like Amanda Lionel, who's the flyweight and bantamweight champion. A lot of people didn't even know that UFC had women's divisions, but they actually have three champions. Well, two champions. One is a double champion, the other is the strawweight champion. So, but that's going on this weekend as well. If you haven't gotten the AZN, the Zone app, you need to go ahead and pick that up, man. Fight Nights Global on there, UFC Africa's on there, KSW's on there, Bellator's on there, Road FC's on there. I'm sure they're going to sign a lot more organizations in the future. Anything else I forget? I don't think so. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, be sure to hit me up at IdreesSCrawley@gmail.com. That's IdreesSCrawley@gmail.com. That's two S's up in there. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Idris Crawley. Not sure when the next show is going to be. I wanted to run through this and get this up for you today. A lot going on. A lot of articles coming up. Be sure to check out my articles on MMA Sucker about the flyweight division. What's next for the champions of the Brave Combat Federation. And the most recent is the UFC Africa 76 preview. Some stuff coming up for WMARankings.com. We'll post something up for the combat docket. That's what right now my focus is on MMA Sucker and WMARankings.com, and also getting my rankings up on the MMA scene blog. I'm kind of everywhere, man. You know, I do this for free. So my goal is to educate you as best I can on the global MMA scene. I'm not just focused on the big boys, the main players. So I hope you appreciate the content. And you can also support the show if you feel the information is valuable to you, if you feel that, you know, you're better informed for listening to my content. You like the show, be sure to, support me. And what I'm doing here, get better equipment, better production for you all somewhere down the road if, you know, the opportunity is there. So thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and I may be back next week. I'm not sure. Follow me on Facebook at MMA Scene Blog or on Twitter, Idris Crawley, and I'll keep you updated out there on when the next show will be. Until then, stay safe. Just landed in the West. Alhamdulillah, salam, I'm blessed. Whole squad on deck. Say salams right, left. Shift the yada, lead the prayer. So we follow his steps. Small Brook, we just raised a million or two. That's money for the kids, not a kid stay in school. Now we trying to build the mall so the Oma Institute. We can make dreams come true. I'm saying my salam to you. That's peace on you and your family too. Oh, and we can be family too. Saying inshallah, watch it all go through. Yes, alhamdulillah, my brothers made it with me. Mashallah, all the sisters, they pray.